listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audiobook.
Greetings, explorers. Welcome to our Halloween special. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, joined by
Dennis.
Today, we are discussing Beasts of Burden, Animal Rights by writer Evan Dorkin and artist Jill Thompson. We hope you have read today's title because all three of us have read the book, so
beware.
Spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our freaky Facebook page or over on our terrifying Twitter, invisible Instagram, at GN Explorers Club. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available wherever fine podcasts are found, including YouTube. All right, so Beasts of Burden, Animal Rights is our book for our Halloween special. As we said in the beginning, it was written by Evan Dorkin. That is a horrible last name.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry, Evan Dorkin. Art by Jill Thompson. This is published by Dark Horse Comics, and I believe it was initially published in 2009 or around that time. There's actually a Hellboy crossover with Beast of Burdens. Did you know that, Dennis?
I did not know that. That's amazing.
So the story takes place in the town of Burden Hill and concerns a group of dogs and a cat who are basically, they defend this town from the supernatural, which I kind of knew that, but I didn't know how in-depth these stories got with that.
Yeah, when you first recommended this title, let me say, I wasn't sure what to expect. Like, off the cuff, like, I looked at it and I thought, okay, this is going to be some goofy whatever, right? Yeah. It's going to be not very serious, especially some of the dialogue initially. And the way they're drawn, they're kind of drawn realistic, but a little cartoony.
It reminds me of the dog, like the little dog who lost its tail or whatever, like those golden books.
Roly Poly. God, what was it? I read it to my kids like a bajillion times and I loved it because I remember he drank the saucer of pudding. But yeah, no, totally. It kind of has a semi-realistic cartoony feel to it. And the way their dialogue initially was going back and forth, I thought it was just going to be kind of just, you know, Scooby-Doo kind of thing. And I was really surprised just overall without going into depth. I thought it was just going to be Milo and Otis, but it turns out this whole thing is like Milo and Otis, Adventures of Milo and Otis meets Chilling Tales of Sabrina. Yeah.
It reminded me, this feels like the child of Through the Woods, which we reviewed in episode 32, and We Three, which we did in episode 52. And that's what it felt like, a cross between those two things.
For sure.
So, as I said, the story takes place in the town of Burden Hill. A bunch of dogs and a cat that are the protectors of this community. Our main characters are Ace, a husky, Jack, a beagle, Pugsley, a pug, who is sort of the jerk of the group. Rex, a Doberman, who's the scaredy cat. The Orphan, which is an orange tabby who is a stray, assuming that's why he calls him the Orphan. Whitey, a Jack Russell Terrier. And then some of the other characters that we meet are Dimphina. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Or Dimphina, who's a witch's familiar, but is a cat. Miranda, who is a trainee of the Wise Dogs. And then there's also another Wise Dog that we meet who kind of pops in and out. He's kind of the sage wizard who instructs these dogs and what they are supposed to do. So as far as character development, what did you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I was pleasantly surprised. So the first story, I should note that the first story actually was part of an anthology of horror from Dark Horse Comics. And it was kind of spooky, but kind of cutesy. And so, and especially, you know, at the end of the tale, their eyes go all wide and they're crying because they help basically this ghost find peace. It wasn't a terrible tale in the sense of it was murdered per se, was hit by a car and then unfortunately buried alive. And so I thought at first I thought it was just going to be this cutesy thing, you know, and the pug is like, you know, apprehensive about things, and it just seemed a little cutesy for me. But then as the story progressed, I was like, wow, I'm really caring about these characters. I really have a feel for each of their personalities. They were as real to me as any other story about, you know, humans. And in fact, in some cases, I actually enjoyed this more than some of the other horror tales that we've looked at, like even compared to like even some of the chilling tales of Sabrina. I'd actually find this more enjoyable in some ways.
Yeah, I thought the characters were really well-rounded. It was at times very sweet, at times very sad.
Yes.
Stories like a lot of the stories had a lot of like things don't go the way the group hopes. And
right.
There's just a lot of depth to this storytelling that didn't necessarily need to be in here. Like they could have just made these spooky stories, but the writer, Evan Dorkin, again, sorry for your last name, did a great job of just adding depth to the characters that really, there's times I felt really, really bad for these characters in some
absolutely.
Of these stories.
And so what was interesting to me, so, you know, we've dealt with comedy stories, we've dealt with realistic ones, we've dealt with horror ones that are just like, I'm super serious and this is supernatural and I'm the evil god of blah, blah, blah. And everyone's just grim-faced and everything's dark. The balance this story, these series of stories took was amazing to me because at some points, like it was kind of cutesy, it was endearing, like I really felt for the characters, but then it took a sharp turn, but not an unrealistic outside the bounds of the story turn where it got very dark and very cultish and everything. And the balance of humor with the levity plus the seriousness was like amazing. It was an amazing balancing act for me because like you said, like Orphan is a great example. First time you see him, I thought he was a one note character. I thought, okay, lazy cat, doesn't like the dogs, is going to, you know, make some snarky, you know, dogs are dumb comments, which he does on occasion, but you can really see him really become part of the group, really go, you know, out of his way to save the group. And he really goes through a full arc in the end where he finds love, and it's amazing. Like what happened to Orphan,
and like how it's almost like sometimes there's like criticisms or reflections of our society where all the dogs that have homes and families, Orphan and this other dog are like, you don't understand what it's, there's a dog that gets sucked into the story by accident, you know, this horrible thing happens, and the other dogs are like, well, how could you be so dumb to do that,
right?
And and Orphan and this other stray dog are like, you don't know, you guys have homes, we have to go out and try to find places to eat, to be safe, to sleep, to stay warm. And that's never the same. And sometimes you just get tired and you give up. And that's right. What this dog did. And I thought, oh man, that is a great critique on like people who are like, well, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Why didn't it you? And it's like, well,
right.
You know, what's your background? Who helped you out? Who got you there? What were your family settings? So I thought that was a great thing. But getting back to some of the humor, sorry. I fucking loved the dog euphemisms in this, like, eating out of the same bowl. I've been walked around the block a few times.
Right.
Do you all got worms? Like, are you fucking idiots? And that scared the kibble and bits out of me. Like, that's one thing I do with our dogs. I like when I'm walking them, I'll think, are there euphemisms that dogs have amongst each other? Like we all sniff the same grass. Like, I don't know. There's just stuff like that.
But, you know, it's funny, and like I said before, and to jump on what you were saying, the kibble and bits one is normally I would groan at that, right? That's like a real dad joke thing. But it integrates so well with the world, yet 2 pages later, there could be, you know, this whole occult circle and some visceral death. And it's totally, it works for me. I don't know what it is about how he was able to interweave all this, but, you know, when the various monsters present themselves and it gets to the real horror, which, by the way, it's very, it can be very like spooky and definitely not for kids unless they're a little older. It's amazing to me, like how he was able to kind of blend those two. Yeah, exactly.
The way to
because
balance.
Like at first I thought it was just gonna be a joke. When we go to the second story, which is we are introduced to the witch cult, which
I'll run through those real quick. Mm-hmm. So those are Stray. The first story, Stray, which is about a haunted doghouse. The Unfamiliar, which is about the gang must stop a coven of witches. And in that story, we're introduced to Dimphna. God, I don't know what that cat's name is.
I have no idea.
After that is Let Sleeping Dogs Lie. That starts with a traditional canine verse, author unknown, that goes, big or small, short or tall, here's what happens to us all. We go to sleep. We close our eyes. We leave behind a nest of flies, which I thought was just an amazing way to start the story off, and how the dogs on that, the gang of dogs help out these poor animals that have been hit by cars.
Right.
Was amazing. But this story seemed like it was inspired by both George Romero and Stephen King. Mm. And in that story, Dimphna returns. After that is Dog and His Boy, which is a new spin on the lycanthropic werewolf stories. The Gathering Storm, which is a frog story, and the gang are invited to join the Wise Dog Society, which is this group of dogs that sort of, as this gang of dogs gets more and more into this craziness of the occult and zombies and every other crazy thing that happens to this town, this group of wise dogs invites these dogs to join this bigger group and train them in ways to defend their town. After that is Lost. So after the dogs join the Wise Dog Society, they help a mother dog find her missing pups. And this is by far the saddest story. Like the way it ends, that the one page ending of that story was fucking heartbreaking.
Haunting, and at first confusing to me exactly what happened. And then I had to reread it a couple times to like, what happened. Because I was like not really getting it. They don't make the text super clear on the newspapers, which is fine. They want you to kind of, you know, really kind of
piece it
infer.
Together.
Yeah. And once I pieced it together, horrible, horrifying story.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Something Whiskered This Way Comes, which Dimphna returns, only she's forced into servitude for these like chanting rats. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also introduced into the Getaway Kid, who's this cat who lives by his name, the Getaway Kid. He gets away from everything. And I hope further stories feature that. He's like the Jack of stories where, you know, he can always get away, or he's too slick and like he can't be caught.
I was honestly surprised. I thought, well, I guess you didn't get away, kid. And it turns out he did. So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And then the final story is Grave Happenings, where the gang meets, I'm assuming, is a dead rock star that turns into a golem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all these stories are fairly short. Most of them are 2 or 3 pages. A couple go maybe like 7 or 10, but they're all real quick stories.
Yeah. And like I've always said before about other stories where it involves some secret society or some occult group, this strikes the right balance of giving you enough to understand what's happening without giving too much exposition where it's like, okay, I get it. You're trying to build this world, and I get this paragraph about, and then this is who the leader is, and this is what we do. And I was like, wow, you know, this is, I almost feel like you're taking yourself too seriously here. I'm like really wanting to learn exactly how this, you know, dog society works. And are they just always guardians? It seems like these are just kind of guys who are just hanging out, and then suddenly they get drawn into this occult defending.
Yeah, they're just good dogs. You know, they're good dogs who happen to kind of stumble onto this secret society that they're forced to help. So.
And then, and a lot of the, you know, like the traditional werewolf story, that actually took me for surprise because I wasn't expecting it. I was like, I don't understand what's happening here. And when it took its turn, I was like, oh, okay, that all makes sense now. Yeah. And that was heartbreaking in the end, too. I was like, wow, this is really, like, I was like really emotional up until, you know, the very end. It was just amazing.
Yeah, that was a good story. They were all great. They were all great. There wasn't a stinker in this. So
not a stinker, no filler material. Mm-hmm. You really feel invested with the characters. I was honestly surprised for something that the main characters are animals who are talking, and some of them are kind of goofy or scared. You really buy into it. And it more so than you would. I mean, we reviewed the Scooby-Doo Apocalypse book, and I was actually more invested with these characters than I was the Scooby Gang. And I love Scooby-Doo, but I felt more like this was an actually like tied group together.
Yeah, they felt like a family, like a group of friends that became family. So yeah, it was a great story. I definitely want to read more of these books.
For sure.
I highly recommend it. I love the art. It was very painterly, like watercolor painterly. As I said in the beginning, just it reminded. Yeah, it's like you were saying, it seems like it's for children, but it's not. And that was the great thing they pulled off with this. Like, I wonder how many iterations they went through this where it was maybe like a group of kids like the Goonies. Mm-hmm. And then they switched it over to animals because maybe it wouldn't be as terrifying. Like if a kid happened to read this.
And then,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, and like I said, in terms of the level of horror, it was just the right amount that this is exactly what I like. I didn't want some goofy, like cartoon Scooby. I wanted something more serious, but I also didn't want something so downtrodden that it was overbearing. And I felt like I was reading, you know, a novel. It was just the right amount. And and once again, going back to your point, the artwork, it cannot be understated. Half of the book for me in terms of the selling was just how good the dogs looked, how good the art looked, how good and visceral the horror parts were. It didn't surprise me at all when I read that Jill was involved with the Sandman comics as well. Because I got
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I definitely got a Sandman feel from it. And yeah, it seems like it's not a regular sort of story, but they're trying to make it ongoing because it depends upon when both of the parties are available. But it looks like they're wanting to continue doing some more stories. So yes, I definitely look forward to more of them, even if they are spaced out quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm totally happy with that. I guess like the most recent thing was published in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally okay with that. If they pace these out and something comes out every 3 to 5 years, I am totally fine with that. I am an instant fan of this series and I love it. We read so many books that have done a horrible job or I should say maybe an amateurish, not a horrible job of world building, and the world building in this series is done so well. This is so well written.
What do you think about how few words are used compared to some of the books? I know you can probably think in your head too of the world building where we've seen it where there's been so much exposition, whether it's like a whole paragraph and there's some floating narrator or there's another character who's trying to explain to a different character about the world building. And we just get tired of it, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. And I thought I was going to be burnt out. I thought I was like, okay, you're going to go into this whole society of dogs and tell me about every different level for about 5 pages, but that didn't happen. And I'm actually hungry for more information.
Yeah.
Supposedly also there was a film option. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, in the right hands, maybe. Supposedly it was going to be a CG movie. You know, that can go either way.
If they did an animated series about this, it would have the illustrating style would have to hone close to this. If it was like a polished all dogs gone to heaven look, I don't think it would be effective. It would do a disservice to this.
For sure. You know, and that's, you really do bring up a good point. It's not only just the quality of art, it's the fact that this has that watercolor look, or it's actually watercolor because that's what Jill, I believe, specializes in, that kind of gives it a certain character to it.
Yeah, it'd have to like the style of Watership Down, the cartoon, would like work well with this. But well, I think we both agree we love this book, and
absolutely,
I highly recommend it. On to some other news, good news and bad news. We'll start with the good news first. Is Frankie is not participating in this because she's actually getting married the weekend we record this. So congratulations, Frankie. We're really happy for you and Andy. I know we tease you a lot, but we're really happy you found each other because it makes our lives easier.
Absolutely. I'm very happy for both of you. I'm sorry I started the pandemic, so I didn't have to go to your wedding back in the spring. It really got out of control, and it wasn't what I expected, but I'm glad you finally were able to get married.
And then the sad news, or bad news, or worse, really sad news, is our Home Away From Home closed Oblivion Comics here in Sacramento. Dennis found Oblivion first, and you would go there all the time.
Right. They were actually located right by where I worked. They were downtown, right by the Crest Theater. They were a coffee and comic shop. They were very welcoming to us. I discovered them beforehand. We had partnered with them, for those who don't know, we had partnered with them to do a monthly, basically in-house reading club. And so they were willing to work with us. They promoted the event. We've done a couple other events with them before. We did a free comic book day, trivia day.
We recorded a couple live episodes there, Coffee Man, and I think another one. Outside of that, though, they also were incredibly welcoming. They did open mic nights there. They did performances inside their room. It's heartbreaking. We love that place, but they fell victim to the pandemic, in that places, that businesses and restaurants and coffee shops, comic book places where people gather, and they need that grouping, that where people come together and sit and eat and do things, like they couldn't survive without people coming in there on a regular basis. And they didn't have like a traditional menu. They had a couple sandwich options, but they were famous for their delicious toasts. So it'd just be like a open face sandwich almost. Some of them were sweet, some of them were savory. I loved them all.
As did I. In fact, I may try to ask them for the recipe. And they had amazing coffee. My favorite, of course, was the Cobblepot, which was a nitro coffee. And unfortunately, unlike some other the comic book shops, which I'm sure are also struggling, they relied 50% on, you know, in-person business where people were getting coffee and food, then the comics. So great model, great idea, but you need people to be able to walk in. And unfortunately, that wasn't possible.
So hopefully they find some funding and they can reopen when it's safe. They are going to be greatly missed, I know, by the two of us and Frankie and the rest of Sacramento.
So absolutely.
On that sad note, thanks for listening. We'll be back in December with our Christmas special, and then our new season will start at the beginning of 2021, hopefully in a better and brighter and warmer and friendlier world than we have right now. I laugh because otherwise I would cry.
Exactly.
That's it. Well, where can people find the podcast on the social medias?
You can find us on Insta and Twitter at GN Explorers Club.
Have a happy Halloween, whatever that looks like this year. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with our Christmas special. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Goodbye. We'll be seeing you soon. I'm kind of scared.